the Diocese of Gallup, welcome to CrozierCast. I'm Suzanne Hammonds, Director of Communications, and with me again today is your host, Bishop James Wall. Now, before we get into our main topic for this week and next week, which is going to be Pope Francis and the Year of Mercy, we wanted to talk a little bit about some of the recent activities you've been doing, including, you had kind of a busy month. You went to the Southwest Catholic Youth Conference.
This is our fifth Southwest Catholic Youth Conference. We do the Diocese of Gallup with the Diocese of Pueblo. Two small dioceses, two relatively poor dioceses, but that doesn't stop us. We come together along with LifeGuard, which is a pro-life outreach organization of the Four Corners, and we sponsor and put on a day-long youth rally. It starts about 10:30 in the morning, and it runs till about 8 o'clock, 9 o'clock at night. And this was our fifth year. Attendance was down a little bit this year. We moved the date a little bit, so maybe that had something to do with it. But I think we had anywhere from about, 550, 600 youth that came together. And they loved it. And the thing I hear every year is this one is the best one. Just phenomenal speakers. Bob Rice, who's a national speaker, also a professor at Franciscan University of Steubenville. So he was one of our speakers, but also he's a musician too. So Bob Rice and his band came, and they provided music for us for the whole day, and it was an amazing day. So Bishop Berg, who's the bishop in the Diocese of Pueblo, he and I were there for the day with all of our youth, and we loved it, had a great time. So now we're looking forward to next year. Next fall we'll turn around and do it again. The big star, I would say, every year though, is for 5 years in a row, David Henry, who's an actor and a very, very devout Catholic. Great guy, really good guy. And he comes to it every year. He gives a session, he gives a talk. The young people love to interact with him. The girls think he's cute, and the guys think he's cool. So he covers all the bases. And he's a great guy, good, faithful, devout Catholic. So he comes every year. He's the draw. David's the draw. I'm so thankful that he gives us his entire day, pictures and all sorts of stuff.
That's pretty great, especially because out of all the dioceses in the country, not as many people are familiar with Pueblo or Gallup. So I think it's especially impressive that he's, it's kind of a humble approach. He's happy to come. It's a sign of humility, that he's able to come out here.
He's a humble young man, talented, yeah. Humble young man. And some people might know him from Wizards of Waverly. He was in that.
How I Met Your Mother. He was in that.
Was he in that too?
Yeah.
And he was in the movie Little Boy. Well, some of the other things he was in too. But a great guy. Really good guy. He's the draw.
Yeah. And so then right after that, the next day, was it that you went out to California?
I did. I next morning flew out to San Diego, because my good friend Patrick Madrid, who's an apologist and speaker and teacher and just an overall great guy, he asked me if I would be interested in serving as a chaplain on a pilgrimage of the California Mission, starting in the southern part and ended up in the north. And we were able to visit 21 missions, and I said, I jumped at it. I said, I'd love to. And we're kind of doing it on a couple things. One, it's the Year of Mercy, so it's good to make a pilgrimage during the Year of Mercy. And the other is, just a little over a year ago, the Church declared Junipero Serra as a saint, so canonized saint. And they refer to him as the Apostle of California. He's the one that first really came to evangelize and had a great love and a heart, especially for the indigenous people, the Native Americans, people in the area. And so Patrick asked me if I would go along. 154 people.
Oh, I didn't realize it was that many.
Buses. It was great. Wow. It was great. 154 just amazing people. Great people. I wouldn't trade one of them. Everybody got along so well together. And it was kind of a feverish pace that we kept, because we're trying to, in about 7 days' time, we're trying to hit all the California missions, 21 of them. And so the people understood that we weren't on a trip or a sightseeing, or that it was a pilgrimage. It really was a pilgrimage, and a pilgrimage is, you know, it's an encounter with the living Christ. It's moving forward and always choosing Christ at each, as we're kind of oriented forward. Saint Junipero Serra's famous statement was "Siempre adelante, nunca atrás." So always forward, never backward. And we did that. That was the spirit that we did on our Camino and our pilgrimage. And I think that's what we would hope that other people would kind of catch that same spirit as well.
And just, you know, not to take too much time away from our main topic, but when you go on a pilgrimage like that, sort of as the spiritual leader of it, what approach do you take to try to keep people's minds centered on the pilgrimage?
Well, we try to look for opportunities of prayer, and we try to evenly space it out through the day. So a given is always Mass. We were able to celebrate Mass in some of the these ancient churches, ancient for us here in the United States, some of these ancient churches that were founded by these great missionaries. So Mass is a given every day. And then on the bus, so we had three buses, and each bus would have a priest. It would be myself, and we had two other priests with us, Father Peter Fagan, who's a Dominican priest from the Eastern Province, and Father Don Klein, who's a priest of the Diocese of Phoenix, a very good friend of mine. And so we had a priest on each, and each priest was on the bus, was in charge of the spiritual life of the bus. And we would pray the rosary, we would pray the chaplet of Divine Mercy, we would pray other prayers. So there's opportunities throughout the day in order to pray. So I think that's to help to keep the focus, that what we're doing is, this is a spiritual journey. It's like, again, I said, it's different than vacation or sightseeing or some of these other things, or just a trip. It's a pilgrimage, and a pilgrimage really is to walk with Jesus each and every step of the way. As he says, as our Lord said, if you want to be my disciple, you must deny yourself, take up your cross, and follow after me. And so on a pilgrimage, we're following after Jesus. We're following in his footsteps. It was a great time. We loved it. We had a great time. And Patrick and his lovely wife, Nancy, were our leaders for our pilgrimage. And they couldn't have been better hosts. And they always have just really, really good, wise words to share with us.
So to sort of segue into our main topic for the day, why the California missions for the Year of Mercy? How do those two tie together?
We predominantly drew from the western part of the United States. Another reason is many of the missions have been designated to have a holy door. So during the Jubilee of Mercy, our Holy Father designated the four holy doors in Rome, Saints Peter, John Lateran, and Mary Major, and St. Paul Outside the Walls. They're opening up those Jubilee doors. And then he asked us throughout the United States and throughout the world to designate holy doors. So we were able to go through those holy doors. And as you go through the holy doors, you can you make a profession of faith. So you can say the act of the Apostles' Creed or the Nicene Creed. We make sure that we receive Holy Communion. We make sure that we either 20 days before or after go to the sacrament of reconciliation or penance. Pray for the needs of the Holy Father, and reflect upon mercy. So they're accessible to us. We're on the heels of the canonization of Saint Junipero Serra, and they provided us an opportunity to go through those doors of mercy.
Hmm. So why? What was the main point you wanted to focus on? I guess maybe the first question would be, you know, why is the Year of Mercy significant? I think the popes designate a specific year every once in a while. So how did this come about?
Well, it's an extraordinary jubilee. Mm. So it's a jubilee out of order, because we have jubilee years, and they're generally, I think, every 25 years. But it's a jubilee out of order. And because he wants us to reflect upon on mercy, and he gets a great quote. I can't remember it off the top of my head, so I'm to read it, but you know, he said in the papal bull that announced the year of mercy, the Misericordiae Vultus, Pope Francis said, in the present day, as the Church is charged with the task of the new evangelization, the theme of mercy needs to be proposed again and again with new enthusiasm and renewed pastoral action. It is absolutely essential for the Church and for the credibility of her message that she herself live and testify to mercy. Her language and her gestures must transmit mercy so as to touch the hearts of all people and inspire them once more to find the road that leads to the Father. So those were the words of our Holy Father. And I think that's why mercy is so important, that we are a more authentic Church in terms of living out the gospel message. And at the heart of that gospel message is mercy. Pope St. John Paul II, I go back to him a lot. He wrote a beautiful letter, Divus in Misericordia, God who's rich in mercy. And he said that there, the two primary ways that we come to know the mercy of God are through, first, the gift of the Father. And we know that through the scriptural passage, John 3:16. It's the one where God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son so that whoever might believe in him might not perish, but might have eternal life. And that's what Jesus came to offer to us, came to offer us eternal life. And Pope St. John Paul II said that that's one of the primary ways in which we come to know the mercy of God. He said the other primary way we know the mercy of God is through Jesus's sacrificial gift of his life upon the cross. So because he pours out his life on the cross, you and I in the world come to know forgiveness of sins and the gift of eternal life. And so John Paul II said that those are the two primary ways in which we come to know the mercy of God. And if we're to live out, there's a theme that's given to us in this year of mercy. It's to be merciful like the Father. So if we're to be merciful like the Father, we reflect upon those two aspects, how we've been shown mercy from God, gift of the Father, the gift of the Son. And we can see that mercy is, it's tied to the word gift, right? God gives us his Son, the Son gives of his life. And if we're to be merciful like the Father, then we have to look for opportunities to give of ourselves, especially those who are less fortunate. Hmm. And those people who are less fortunate can be in our family, they could be our friends, they could be the complete stranger that you see along the side of the road or meet in the streets or whatever the case is. But to be a more merciful Church so that we might have a more authentic message. We could talk about mercy till we're blue in the face, but if we're not being merciful, then our message becomes really, it's hypocritical. And our Lord has really harsh things to say for hypocrites. That's when he starts off by saying, woe to you. And we don't want to be on the receiving end of the woe lines.
So we're coming sort of to the close of the Jubilee. Looking back over the past year, are there any specific events that have been done worldwide or maybe in our own diocese that have sort of stood out to you that exemplify mercy?
Well, we just talked about the Southwest Catholic Youth Conference, and the theme that we had this year was mercy. And we did it on the Feast of St. Therese. Hmm. And John Paul II said that she was one of the main saints that teaches us about mercy, the mercy of God. And she came to know the mercy of the Father, especially through her family, especially through her relationship with her father, who's a saint. So that was a big event for us. Again, the recent, although it wasn't a diocesan event, it was that we had many people from our own diocese that joined on the pilgrimage up the California missions, and kind of raise awareness to that. And I think that any time in both of those instances, any time you provide opportunities for prayer to grow in your relationship with our loving God and to reflect upon, first of all, his gift of mercy to us, it gives us, or it should move our heart to see how it is that we can be more merciful. So, you know, throughout the year we've had some good events for mercy. Earlier in the year in our diocese, we consecrated the diocese to the Immaculate Heart of Mary. We did that on her feast day. The feast day of our diocese was the feast day of Our Lady of Guadalupe. And so what does Our Lady do? I mean, she's merciful because she leads us to her Son, right?
Right.
And she always points toward her Son. So a number of events that we have this year, but it's really the central theme that we drew the theme that Pope Francis gave to us in maybe in events, but also I think in our preaching and our teaching, we were always constantly going back to the theme of mercy.
So, and you kind of mentioned earlier, so this is a jubilee out of order. What's significant about the fact that it is, you know, all of a sudden a big deal, a jubilee? You know, why make this specific theme such a big deal?
I think it's a way of saying pay attention. Yeah. I think it is. I think when something's out of order or something's comes at us in a little different way, it might kind of startle us or grab our attention. And I think that's one of the things that our Holy Father's doing. He's saying, hey, pay attention to this. This is important. You know, it's to be so that we can reflect upon God's gift of mercy, so that we can be more merciful people. Now, as you know, we didn't start on December 8th, the Feast of Immaculate Conception, 2015, and go to Feast of Christ the King, which is November 20th of this of 2016, and we don't just simply say, okay, that's our time of mercy, and we go back to our old ways after that. But what we want to do is we want to carry this momentum into the rest of our lives. Because it's not, you know, just a program that we do for a year, 3 years, or 5 years, but it's something that we carry with us throughout our life. So hopefully this will prove as a springboard for us, for the church and for its individual members, to be a more merciful church and to be more merciful disciples of our Lord.
That was part one of our series on the Year of Mercy. Next week, since the Year of Mercy will be officially over, we'll bring you part two, where Bishop Wall will talk about how to implement acts of mercy in our lives and beyond, even after the Jubilee Year is over. We'll see you next week for another episode. Thanks for listening.